Welcome back to Maritime Morning. There's a piece in the National Post yesterday that caught my attention. Headline, detention is over. Schools increasingly substituting discussion for by-the-book discipline. It talks about an independent K-12 school in St. John's, Newfoundland, where Greg O'Leary is the principal. And what he is teaching is what they call a new relational culture at the school that he says feeds into a new circular approach, one that aims to make students more accountable for their actions and help them think about their behavior, how it affects themselves and others. He sees detention or sitting in isolation as perhaps not the type of punishment that is any longer useful. And this appears to be something that is spreading around the school systems. It's gaining ground from Toronto to Edmonton to Yarmouth and to Vancouver over the past 10 years or so, and is spreading into the United States and, goodness, even the home of Pink Floyd, the United Kingdom. The roots are in Aboriginal healing circles. The idea is perhaps, I guess, to use some restorative justice practices within the school system. But should punishment be taken out of the schools in favor of this? Michael Zweigstra is a high school teacher. He's an education analyst. He's the Atlantic Institute for Market Research fellow in common sense education. He joins us on the phone this morning. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jordy.
I guess I don't know if this is a matter of one or the other, but in this story, you were quoted as saying, I don't think it's worth completely removing punishment from the school system. So what is your take on this idea of sitting kids down and having a good talking to with them?
Well, my initial response is that this isn't a new idea. And frankly, when I read the story in terms of when they're talking about lateness at this school in Newfoundland, and they're saying that they've now started talking with kids about why they're late before giving them a detention, my first reaction to reading that was, what, they weren't talking to their kids before? I mean, what school currently doesn't talk to students about why they're misbehaving? So on one hand, this is straightforward, that of course you discuss with students and try to figure out what the problem is. And so certainly that aspect of it isn't new at all. And it's just interesting to see how that's sort of being dressed up as this new idea that for the first time ever, we're going to start talking to students about why they're misbehaving.
When you mention here that you don't think it's worth completely removing punishment from the school system, do you think that are we re-examining what we see as effective punishment? And is that a useful effort?
Well, I think that punishment absolutely has a place in the school system. There are, you know, if students break the rules, and particularly in circumstances where direct harm happens to someone else, you know, when you have a bullying incident or something of that nature, you absolutely need to have consequences and punishment. And whether that's detention or a suspension, whether in school or out of school, you absolutely need to keep that as part of the system, because it's not just about dealing with the individual student who is offended. You also have to consider what's best for the rest of the students in the class, and if this student is causing problems for everyone else, then it's not enough just simply to talk to that student. You need to have a consistent consequence take place so that other students see that the rules are going to be enforced and that they are going to be kept safe at school.
But what consequences are available for educators now when it comes to students? And you've probably heard a lot of it about classroom environments seeming to be lacking respect for teachers, and there doesn't appear to be consequences there for students who do misbehave.
I agree, and it is increasingly a problem, and part of the challenge is that we have too much of a culture in the school system that's focusing on the students' right and everything being student-centered and moving away from the idea of the teacher being charged with the classroom. We need to shift back to an approach where we recognize that the teacher should be an expert in the subject matter, the student should listen when the teacher is talking, and if a student persistently disrupts class, certainly at a minimum, the teacher should be able to have that student removed from class until he or she is able to behave and pay attention. Because, again, the misbehavior doesn't affect just the student in question or just the teacher. It affects everyone else in the class. And we certainly have moved away from this idea in many schools that the teacher needs to be clearly in charge of the classroom.
Are there options for teachers in terms of consequences now, or have they been mostly eliminated? We see it seemingly that You can remove somebody from a classroom, or you can go nuclear and you can suspend them from school. But that wouldn't seem to solve the problem. But it eliminates the problem.
Well, there's obviously a limit to what teachers can do, or frankly, even school administrators. As far as teachers in their classroom, a lot of it depends on how supportive their school administration is. Some principals are more supportive of their teachers and more willing to back them up in terms of removing disruptive students than others. But certainly, the number of disciplinary options, there are limits, but certainly the being able to remove a student from an environment where they're causing a problem, that's certainly a very basic one that does need to be available as an option.
What do you think of this idea of actually using some of these restorative justice processes that they put in place? This is where the justice system is going in terms of young offenders. In many cases, they say that sometimes going through this process of understanding what it is that you have done, that facing the people that have been affected by it, using some of those processes is actually more difficult than simply just doing some time, like sitting in detention.
I think it depends a lot on the nature of the offense and the age of the student in question. So, for example, if you have a student who's in grade 1 or grade 2 who's having issues with another student, that would be an ideal person in which to have a conversation and have them talk to the person that they are having issues with and sort it out. When you get to older students and you get to more serious offenses, I would be very cautious about setting up a system where the standard response is always making the offender sit down with the victim, because in those cases, if someone is being seriously harassed, they may not want to meet with the offender. They may want to be away from the offender. And if you make it the default response that you're always going to have this sit down, you'll have a lot of at least informal pressure on the victim that you have to sit down in the circle. You have to sort this out with the offender. When really it's the offender who's caused the problem. The victim may not want to see the offender. So, in certain cases, I have no problem with let's sit down and discuss and sort it out. But to make it the default that this is what we're always going to do, I think we run into some problems, particularly when you're dealing with more serious offenses.
The other side of this as well is that restorative justice processes are generally executed by people who have a great deal of understanding of how they work and are skilled at it. And I'm not entirely sure that teachers or educators or school administrators have that skill set at their disposal.
I would agree. I mean, it's restorative justice is a fairly advanced concept, and it's been somewhat implemented in the criminal justice system. To take the idea and say that we're going to transplant it wholesale into the public school system, and that now this is how we're going to handle discipline, I think is a really big step, and one that I don't think that most teachers are trained in all the processes and such. And I don't think I want to see a situation where, okay, now we're going to spend millions of dollars in in-servicing for all teachers. We're just going to focus on just restorative justice, because now we're losing sight of many of the other things that teachers need to be doing with their time. And so, again, there are some principles where, of course, it makes sense to discuss with students why they're causing problems, but that you don't need to have a formal, whole new system in which to do that. We can do that now and keep the consequences that we have in place.
Michael Zweigstra writes on education issues for the Frontier Center for Public Policy and also for the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, and is an author of a number of papers on educational issues. Just to wrap up on this, what would you like to see in terms of tools made available for teachers, or are there any that are available for teachers that are not being used in terms of being able to provide more discipline in the classroom?
Well, I would like to say, obviously, there's a number of things. I mean, one, of course, is having more training about classroom management and school discipline in education faculty. A common complaint you'll hear, especially from new teachers, is that they never really learned how to deal with these problem situations when they were getting their training in university. But secondly, as well, having clear, consistent discipline policies in school and a stronger expectation that we're going to back up the authority of teachers teachers in the classroom, and that they are in charge, and that students are there to learn, teachers are there to teach, and principals will back up teachers who need to remove disruptive students from the classroom setting. And so having better training at the university level when you're becoming a teacher, and then also having clear, consistent rules that where the principal will back up their teachers when they're trying to enforce order and discipline in their classrooms.
Thank you very much, Michael. Good talking to you, as always.
You're welcome.
Michael Zwagstra joining us this morning. Do you think that we need to put more emphasis on discipline in schools? And what do you think of this idea of restorative justice techniques being used within the school system? It is gaining ground across the country here. This is the idea that you sit down with the person who you have transgressed, if you will. If somebody comes in, they're late for school, and this is the example that was being given in Newfoundland, that they say, having a student sit in detention without understanding how their behavior, lateness or otherwise, is affecting everyone else around them is not enough, and it doesn't change the behavior. So the principal there is saying once they become aware that their behavior is adversely affecting the learning community, it is amazing to see the transformation in that student and consequently that behavior. So that you would sit down and you would talk with him and you say, well, when you are late, this is how it actually affects everybody else. And that, it's not necessary to put somebody in detention, and that detention is not going to be used as a disciplinary tool. Does that work for you? Does it make sense? 405-6000 or 877-801-8255 is our number here. That's 405-6000 or 877-801-8255. They did away with the strap a long time ago, thank goodness. But what tools are out there for teachers to use to put some discipline back in the classroom? And do we need more discipline in the classroom to ensure that people who are there that want to learn can learn? 405-6000 or 877-801-8255. What do you think of those ideas? This is Maritime Morning. Welcome back to Maritime Morning. We're talking about the idea of using restorative justice techniques within the school system. Apparently it is gaining some ground. Critics of it see it as well-intentioned, but perhaps symptomatic of school cultures that are overly permissive, the type of teachers systems where teachers are fired for giving zeros, and parents are running around saying their kids can do no wrong, and that the discipline is soft, and there's no respect for authority. Or is this actually a little more advanced thinking in terms of how we should deal with problem kids in schools? Good morning, Anne. How do you feel about this idea of discipline in high schools?
Well, right now, I have three elementary school children who do very, very well in the comparison to, let's say, the good majority of the school. And I believe, as a parent, I have a balance, both where there's discipline and love and a lot of talking. Like my husband calls it the lecture hall. One of my children does something that is particularly, let's say, untasteful or disrespectful, there's a lecture hall seminar on the stairs, and there's a lot of communication. I make sure that they take personal responsibility for their actions, plus they have a timeout, okay? So because they need to sit back, work it out in their mind, what did I do? And then I come back once again and ask, do you realize how this affects the family, affects your school, the school environment, and whatnot?
Okay, Anne, that is good parenting. But is a teacher's role the same as a parent? Is the teacher there to parent the child, or are they there to teach them? And I guess that's where we see the difference.
Well, at school, they need these same structures implemented. They need a balance at school as well. It has to. The way that a good child is raised is through consistency, both through the home and through the school. It has to happen that way. You can't have two different rules. I notice my children's behavior after every end of the term going into summer. I notice my kids are out of control. I've got to bar down, and I got to once again implement all the structures that I usually have in the house. Then I send them back to school. Come September, they're really rangy. I go down to talk to the teacher. I've given them ideas on how to help, and they've used my ideas, and it works a lot. Mm. So, I mean, the consistency has to go on both sides, because we're as a community, we're all raising our children together. And that's where it has to be. There has to be more communication with the parents and the teachers, and also a lot of communication with the individual child to make sure that they're being identified. If there's more problems other than having a bad day or being late, that perhaps things have been overlooked. Perhaps they have emotional delays, learning delays, and whatnot. And that's how we figure it out.
Okay, Anne, thank you very much for your comments this morning. Ian, you heard what Anne had to say there. What do you think of a teacher's role in terms of disciplining children?
I did hear what Anne had to say, and I think she's probably doing a wonderful job with her kids. Unfortunately, we're not talking about elementary school children here. We're talking about young adults mm-hmm. in high school. They're physically larger. They
they're adolescents, so they're obviously they have other issues.
Yeah, I mean, some of them have never been properly parented, and that's unfortunate in and of itself. But the reality, and I don't have a problem with restorative justice to a point. If it works, fine, then you no longer have to deal with that young adult. If they've had their first shot at it and it didn't work, maybe give them a second shot at it. But the discipline, you know, there should always be a mailed fist inside a velvet glove. And respect is always tinged with just the tiniest bit of fear. And that fear comes from, you know, the system going to take a slice off you or whatever it is. And as long as the system grows a backbone, then that's fine. But we can't make exceptions for one, family because their parents yell louder than other parents or threaten to go to the press or whatever because their little Johnny, they feel, was hard done by the education system when, in fact, they started the child, and never parented them properly. And that, you can't take, you've got 1,500 students in a school. I mean, this reminds me of a few years ago when we had a principal who restrained a student, a young adult, put him to the floor, didn't hit him, just restrained him from striking another student or himself or one of his other teachers, and then the system tried to fire him.
Yep.
And I really had a problem with that.
Right.
I mean, and we all saw it in glowing color in video. And this came right from the top. Somebody that did not have a backbone or had a personal vendetta against that principal, who was just doing his job, and I think was doing it very well.
Thank you, Ian, for your comments this morning. Barry, what are your thoughts on this? Are teachers there to parent students, or are they there to ensure that discipline is maintained and that order is maintained in the school so that kids can get an education?
That guy has a PhD in stupid. You know, you've been in high school. There are some kids that their biggest accomplishment is they kept the dust off the desk. And they really don't care. They're thinking about, can I get somebody to get into the liquor store for me or do something else that really are not going to sit down and cry and say, oh, well, I distributed for other people. They really don't give a damn. And how is that going to change those people? And unless the world's changed completely, there are still people like that in high school. There have been since the beginning of time. How could it have any effect on them?
I don't know. I think there's some value to the restorative justice process.
Give them a chance.
But the idea being that you make somebody actually realize what they're doing. But it is a very difficult, complex skill set. And is that what we are there to have our teachers do? Are they the ones that are going to be implementing this stuff? And are they trained to do it? Are we going to spend millions of dollars getting teachers to understand restorative justice processes? They're there to teach, for crying out loud. That's their job.
Jordy, have you ever seen any kids that would never have made any difference to at all? I mean, really. So what are you going to do with them people?
Mm.
I mean, there are some people that talks work with, but if it don't work, you still got to have that hammer, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you very much, Barry. George writes, I think I find the lack of school discipline the number one reason for kids being the way they are. Going to a then Catholic school as a kid and the nuns having carte blanche to do pretty much what they wanted to do to the kids, we were much better disciplined. A teacher would think nothing of giving a kid a ruler across the knuckles. We still had the strap. Just the threat of the strap was more than enough to keep us in line. I have no problem with corporal punishment. A slap on the hand across the knuckles is warranted and appropriate in some cases. Yeah, well, as long as the teachers use it appropriately, and I can tell you that there are parents out there who have had experiences with kids whose teachers did not use corporal punishment particularly appropriately. So I'm actually happy to see that gone. But I think that, you know, you do need to have some sort of a disciplinary structure in place there. Michael writes, hi, Jordy. Schools, and even more importantly, high school, should be an institution designed to prepare children for real life. Do we give murderers and rapists a good talking to and hope they don't reoffend? No. Punishments are intended to deter individuals from offending, and this includes detention. What better way to punish a student than to take away an hour of their after-school personal time? Why don't we just stop failing them to, oh, wait, I forgot they can't fail either. School is becoming more of a daycare and less like a preparation for life. Let's have one quick call here from David to wrap things up. David, what are your thoughts on this in terms of discipline in schools?
I think a lot of the discipline's been taken out of the schools in a way that probably most people wouldn't understand. When you have a bunch of cutbacks that, you know, sporting events are gone, you know, programs like shop, gym programs, you know, things like that where the students and the teachers get to be on a more everyday fun things other than just study and stuff like that. I think that's what affected it a lot. The one-on-one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the extracurricular stuff that gave teachers and students an opportunity to interact. You know, teaching is a tough, tough job. And to have, and some, there are good teachers and there are bad teachers, like in every line of work, but expecting them to understand restorative justice processes instead of giving them tools to apply discipline, to me, seems like it may be problematic. It's a complicated issue, obviously. We like to talk about education issues here, and thank you, everybody, for jumping in and joining us on this. Another very complicated issue is obviously what's going on in the Aboriginal community. Yesterday, some revelations coming out about Chief Theresa Spence and what happened on her reserve. We're going to talk about that with Senator Patrick Brazeau. You may recognize that name. He was the guy that got into the boxing match there with Justin Trudeau. He's a former Aboriginal activist, and he's now a senator. And we're going to get his take on this, and we're going to get your thoughts as well on how this audit that has been released saying that a great deal of the money at Chief Theresa Spence's reserve has not been accounted for over the last number of years. That's coming up right after the news here on Maritime Morning.